All right, now that we're into mid-January, I've finally upgraded my little flat cap dealy to an actual winter hat, because the creepy fingers of the cold wrapping around my little baldy bald head. Brr, a little chilly. It's not too bad. You know, now it's like noon or whatever. I don't know, what time is it? I never know what time it is. Oh, it is noon. Look at that. But yeah, there's enough of a chill in the air that I could get away with it now. A little uncomfortable on the dome. But once the sun goes down, it's going to be wicked cold, man. Got my extra layer of gloves, too. The gloves that were abandoned on Mount Takao, so I gave them a good home in my pocket. But yeah, I seem to have gotten away with huge amounts of hiking yesterday without exasperating the mystery injury that I had. And it's like, man. And man, I just know I'm going to look back on these days when I'm a legitimately super old person. I'm going to be like, ah, remember when I was just middle-aged, a mere middle-aged man, and I would have a mystery pain, but it would just kind of go away after a couple days? Those were the days. It is still a little weird, though. It's not like, I don't really feel anything wrong with my leg. It's just that I have an awareness of it, you know? Optimally, you want to not have any awareness of your limbs at all. I can feel on that leg just something different. Just something different about it, but hey, whatever. So far, so good. I am going to do some walking today, but no actual mountaineering, so it'd probably be all right. I wonder, there's a very small river near my Airbnb. I always just walk across this and go to the machine to get Zelda coffee. Never walked down it before because it's, there's not a lot of water in it, and it's not very pretty this time of year. All the foliage down there is pretty dead. So it's not the nicest walk in the world, but what the heck is this thing? Where does it go? This is the Yaji River. Yeah, it appears to go to a golf course. Not fantastically inspiring. But then it goes up toward Akiruno to that Tokyo Summerland place. I'll keep this in mind as a potential way to get home today. Probably won't take it, but I do intend to end up in Akigawa. Never quite sure, so like the neighborhood, or the general vicinity is Akigawa, but then Akiruno City Hall. Okay, no, Akiruno is the larger area. Akigawa is the more specific one. But yeah, I thought what I might do today as a relatively easy adventure. This was not high on my list of stuff to do, but in fact, I thought I might not get around to it at all, but it was just like, what idea sparks joy in me today? What can I do that's not that big of a deal? That's not a big mountain hike. So back in 2019, my second to last night in Japan, I was at the Sky Tree with my friend Brad, who was visiting from Fukuoka, and I was staying in Akiruno at the time. And I didn't leave the Sky Tree early enough to make it all the way, because, you know, it's all the way out here. It's way, way westerly. So I took the train to Tachikawa, and Tachikawa was shut down by the time I got there. They were just ushering people out, and there was no taking any more trains from there. And it was pretty late at night at that point, you know, midnight or something. So Tachikawa is a station I did a little previous exploration of, and I didn't really find much around there. It reminds me quite a bit of Hachioji Station near here. It's just the big local station, the place in the sticks that feels like the city for a little dollop, you know. But then as you get away from it, it really quickly devolves into just suburbs, just houses. But I'd at least spent enough time walking around, just exploring the different directions to kind of confirm that I couldn't find much going on around those parts, that I was like, you know, I think this is all right. I think I can walk from here. I think I can figure this out. And because I didn't have proper location services on my little super cheap phone at the time, it felt like an extra level of adventure, you know, of just like heading off into the darkness. Pretty sure I knew where I was going. But there were also Wi-Fi at all the convenience stores in 2019. So I could stop in at convenience stores and recalibrate once in a while. But it felt like a surprisingly epic adventure just to walk from Tachikawa to Akigawa Station. Down the streets, through the dark, and then, it started off being kind of more just like normal suburbs, but very quiet because it was nighttime. Then past a big highway, which was weird and scary at night, just these huge trucks and stuff. Then across the Tama River and into Akigawa, which was just straight up the sticks. Suddenly it's like super quiet, like you're in the countryside. And I don't know, it took a couple hours at least. I wonder, 2 hours, 3 hours? I don't know. I mean, it felt like forever. It felt like I was just traveling through the void. But it was really cool. I felt a little proud of myself that I pulled that off. So I thought I might just go do that again in the daytime. Just go to Tachikawa Station. Just walk that route. But it's just so different feeling. Not only because I know a lot more about all these neighborhoods now, I'm a lot more aware of how they are all laid out, but just having the proper little blue dot with a high level of fidelity and trustworthiness on an actual smartphone, it just changes everything. I mean, like, I'm thinking of when I first went to Ome, and I literally just walked into the woods because I could tell where I was based on the little blue dot. It's like, you know, this feels like the woods. It feels like I'm walking into the woods. But the road's right here. The garage is right here. The shutdown honeybee fucking farm is right here. If I keep going, I'll connect up to a major trail system. And I did. You know, like, you can just kind of just do whatever and it's not a big deal. Or like I used to always go scout out my Airbnbs ahead of time to make sure I knew how to get there, and I just don't need to anymore. Just follow the blue dot, wander around, you'll get there eventually. So that's the kind of into the fucking wild blue yonder adventure that I'm not going to have anymore. It's just not going to happen, but it's probably for the best that it's not going to happen, because the reason that walk sticks out in my mind so clearly is that it could have gone wrong. I could have fucked that up for sure. It was still a lot easier than the pre-smartphone days, the pre-internet days, where you literally just were walking around and had no idea how to navigate. I was a big step up from that, but I was a big step down from where I am at now. And, you know, I think it's okay to not go back to that world. That that was fun in its own way, but it's wildly irresponsible. But yeah, I thought today maybe I'll just go do that, just see what that route looks like in the daytime. Just, one last little dose of random nostalgia around these parts. I ran into the Zelda machine. You know, I was pontificating about 100 yen machines. Like what the margins must be to charge so little. But maybe it does work, because there's a machine nearer my Airbnb that has the Zelda coffee for 110 yen. And then I don't even know where I was, somewhere the other day where it was 130 yen. Where I did see someone come distinctly stop their car at this specific machine, no doubt because it's so cheap. And I buy these Zelda coffees every day now that I found it. I bought two of them yesterday. I didn't even drink it this morning. It's still at my Airbnb. I was like, oh, I'll just continue to save this because I can buy one as I walk. I'll save that one as a backup. Because it's not just the Zelda coffee. It's a whole bunch of this stuff that's 100 yen. Yay. And then there's stuff that's 110. Some high ticket items that are 120. Then out of nowhere, there's the monster. Giant monster energy drink is 190. No deals there. But everything else is 100, 110, 120. And it has stuck in my mind. I mean, as far as this neighborhood goes, this little walk I take every day to the station, I always stop at this machine now. It's the combination, it's the two things. I guess the 100 yen price tag by itself wasn't quite enough for just random products that I didn't have any specific attachment to, but finding the Zelda coffee on top of that and being like, wow, it's so cool, because it's just fun to buy a little can that looks like Zelda shit, and it's actually tasty coffee, and it's only 100 yen. All those things together, every day I buy one or two of these things. So, I mean, maybe it really does work. Undercut the competition. Even in the land of millions of drink machines, it is the only one on this route that's this distinctly cheap. Maybe it's worth it. Maybe you can just grind out them margins, man. But anyway, yeah, I'm heading to Kita Hagioji. Then from there, it'll be to Haijima. And instead of Ome or Akiruno or the normal places I go, this time I'm going to go to Tachikawa. Then I'm going to walk. Then I'm going to walk from Tachikawa to Akiruno. And then potentially, I just, you know, just added this piece to the puzzle right now, but if I did walk down to Tokyo Summerland and cross the bridge, I could follow that river right back to my Airbnb. So I might do the whole loop. But that's the other beauty of a trip like this, is it's next to rail lines the whole time. I could bail out any time if I had to. But what else am I doing today? This seems like a pretty good plan. And then if I've got my timing right, I think tomorrow is my last day in West Tokyo. So that might be one more time to go hit up Ome. That Ome route between Ome and Akiruno. That seems like that might be good. That's the tentative plan. And then escape. Man, imagine if they put... It would obviously make the price ludicrous, but imagine if they put a little sound chip in the Zelda coffee. Here, let's open this bad boy. Ah, very nice. But imagine if you opened that and it went... That would be... Sure, it would cost $4 for one can of coffee, but it'd be really cool. Man, I just experienced a subway station magic trick where I got into the subway station, and this station doesn't, trains don't go very frequently, even though holiday hours, I believe, are over at this point. It's still pretty slow station. And I saw people on the platform, so I'm like, all right, I'm somewhere in between trains. Let me just hop in the washroom and take a pee. And in that 1 minute that it took me to go in and pee, somehow a train arrived, unloaded everyone, got the new people on, and left. And not only did they demonstrate insane efficiency, I didn't even hear it. I guess I had headphones in, to be fair. But yeah, I came out of the bathroom and I looked down the stairs and I'm like, oh, that person that I saw standing there before is gone. And then I walked down the stairs and everyone was gone. And I checked the little sign and it said 12:43, which was the exact time that it was when the train was coming. And I was like, what the, how in the... And then it's just one of those things that, like, who cares? I don't care. I mean, it's a bit of a wait. It's like half an hour till the next train, actually. It's a pretty long wait between trains here. And I don't actually care, but it's like you got to let your mind diffuse, because there's that stupid part of your brain that's like, I deserved to be on that train. I cannot believe the exact perfect timing. I arrived at the exact wrong moment. How I missed the train that was promised to me in time immemorial down through the ages. But even though I don't care, and I like hanging out at this station, in fact, it's kind of nice. I've said that many times. But you can't talk yourself out of your little lizard brain. Sometimes you just got to sit there for a couple minutes and let it dissolve on its own. Because then once it did, yeah, I just sat there. I just did a little writing on my novel, which is something I've been very much neglecting. Once I leave Japan, I'm going to ramp that back up. You know, the travel podcast is going to slow down. And the writing a novel thing is going to ramp back up. I assume in South Korea, it'll just be occasional updates. It's not going to be this, like, daily stuff I've been doing in Japan. So it was a good thing. I sat here for half an hour, well, 25 minutes, because now I'm recording this. And I got a little bit of work done. It's like, there's literally nothing wrong with that. But it's just funny to just be, like, so entitled feeling. I can't believe I missed my train. But it was actually kind of nice. I mean, this is one reason why working on my novel is going so not well in Japan, is because I spend all damn day walking. I don't have enough time just sitting. And I mean, once I get to Tachikawa, that's the plan. Walk, 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 and then walk some more, and then walk a little more. So it was a good thing. But it was quite an amazing sleight of hand. I mean, I guess this train is really quiet. I mean, there's a train across from me that just arrived. You can barely even hear it. But yeah, that was like ta-da, magic. Everyone's gone from the platform. They've all disappeared. It's like, what the heck? Anyway, train's going to be here in like 2 minutes. I wonder what the longest wait is on this system. I mean, out at Okutama, it's definitely a bit long. But half an hour feels pretty long. That feels like about as long as you're ever going to really wait for a train in Japan. And man, it goes by fast. All right, I'm at the south exit of Tachikawa Station. It is actually kind of neat to be back here. Just because, I don't know, it's just generically big and bustling, you know? It's like a pedestrian overpass and, you know, just tons of signs and whatever. Just crazy shit going on. See, I remember up here, there's a 7-Eleven, if I go across at this intersection. And I always remember that one because one night a drunk Japanese guy tried to talk to me while I was standing outside eating some onigiri. And I guess because he was drunk, he really stuck with it, even though I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't say anything, you know? So, you know, it wasn't unpleasant. It was like, oh, this guy's trying to talk to me. Didn't work. I would not call it what we had a conversation, but it was like sort of fun in a weird way. Made that place stick in my mind. And then I know if I hang a right from there, there's a park where in the summertime it was full of just old men hanging out. And they used to have these drink machines where you could get, I haven't seen it at all on this trip. It was this kind of cool thing where it was like a matcha tea, but the matcha tea powder was in the cap of the drink, separate from the water. So you'd press down on the cap, and the powder would drop into the water, and then you shake it up. So you get brand new, super fresh matcha tea. I don't know if that's a summertime thing, or they just don't make it anymore, but I have not seen that at all, but they had it at that park. So that's the direction I want to go. Now, there's the 7-Eleven. Because then if I just walk that way straight on till morning, you know, it's basically just following the train line toward Hajima. So this big journey that I took in 2019, I mean, it was quite simple. It wasn't complicated. It just felt crazy because it was so late at night. And the price of failure would have been large, that I would have been wandering around lost at night. So it should be extra easy to do today. But yeah, despite though that it is nice to be here and it's just kind of cool, there's like a monorail here. The monorail definitely makes the neighborhood stand out a bit. But this neighborhood in general, it was one of the first times I really felt a little stifled. Like, I came here just because it was quite a famous neighborhood and all the trains pass through Tachikawa in this part of Tokyo. So I was just curious what it was. And you get that big initial blast of activity and of stuff going on. But then when I went north, there was some kind of park that you gotta pay to enter, so maybe it's nice, I don't know, but I did not pay. And I couldn't find much else around there. I just went to the local convenience store and hung out there, so it's just weird how dumb little stuff like that'll stick in your mind. I just remember that 7-Eleven very clearly, and I remember standing outside it needing stuff. So in the shallowest, stupidest way, I still had an alright time exploring north of Tachikawa, but that's all that I found. And then here to the south, I wandered around this neighborhood a bit too, or I guess to the east specifically. A lot of French restaurants, that kind of a vibe. So nothing that really stood out to me necessarily. And now this way, heading west, it's gonna pretty quickly just turn into suburbs, which again I have sort of fond memories of just from walking home at night through them. But this was one of these neighborhoods where I felt a little stifled by it, where I'm like, I just don't quite know why I'm here. I don't quite know why I would go to Tachikawa. It just kind of seemed generically big, generically full of all the stuff that you might need. But besides that monorail, I'm not sure what makes Tachikawa stand out necessarily. Which is why this wasn't high on my list. It's like, wasn't like a big plan to come back to Tachikawa. But once I'm back here, is it like, yeah, this is actually, it's kind of cool just to swing by, just to stop by real quick, purely just for the nostalgia of going back to a place that I've been to before. That's all. And then now that I'm away from the central bustle, it really does evaporate super fast. It seems so big and so like, whoa, big time fucking station. But it evaporates quick. Yeah, now that I'm away from that, story of my life, but I gotta be a little mindful not to walk too fast. Because, yeah, I don't feel any pain in my leg, but I do feel just tightness. There's definitely something in my leg that does not feel like I've completely healed. So the epic version of this fucking journey that I theorized earlier today, of walking all the way to Hajima, and then all the way over to Akiruno, and then all the way to Tokyo Summerland, and then across the bridge to that river, and all the way back to my Airbnb. Maybe not. Who knows? If I have any problems with my old leg, we just won't do that, because it's a pointless journey anyway. There's no need for that. I could bail out of here anytime. Many subway stations on the way. Man, already just walking slightly west of Tachikawa, it does feel different. Daytime is a different world from nighttime. But it does also remind me of, this has been a fantastically mild winter. But I definitely get these little memories of, like, even if it was cold, even if it was kind of miserable, just how miserable the summertime was. That this does seem like this would be better even if this was a bad winter. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll be here during a bad winter sometime and change my tune. But I remember when I was walking this route in the summertime and it was like midnight and it just wasn't remotely cold. It wasn't cold at all. And that was by the end of my trip, so it was like, man, July? Maybe August? I think it was July. Anyway, it was right in the middle of summer. And then I remember it rained really briefly, not enough to cool anything down. In fact, it just made everything very humid. And I remember because it was the middle of the night and no one was around, you know, I'd taken my shirt off on the mountains here and again in 2019, another thing I never even remotely had to do this time. But, you know, that was on a mountain. I was all by myself. This was the only time I ever took off my shirt in Tokyo proper, but it was just so humid. I was just fucking dying. It was so unbelievably humid and hot. And again, that was like past midnight. Like, what crazy weather, man. Tokyo in the summertime is totally fucked. Like, I definitely don't miss that. This weather's a little bit chilly. I'm finally having to upgrade my wardrobe a little. But yeah, just, it's so easy to pack on extra layers, it's not a big problem. I mean, very worst case scenario, you could stop in a convenience store and get gloves and neck warmers and all kinds of stuff, you know, if you're really desperate, where you can be as desperate as you want to escape the heat. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing. And again, you know, if it's like the middle of the day, that's one thing. It's just those times when it was like the middle of the night and it was still incredibly hot out. That's where it's like disturbing levels of warmth that I'm glad to avoid. And here's this park. It is Suwanomori Park, Suwanomori Park. So this was the farthest I had done my random exploration. And then that night I had to get home. It's like, all right, I've been that far. Let's just go to that park and just keep going. Just continue on into eternity. And I suspect it's probably not even all that long of a walk, but I guess we'll see. Just felt long when I was, you know, no one was around. I was all by myself in the nighttime, just traveling into the wild blue yonder, or the wild pitch black yonder. And I guess it sticks in my mind so much because I was needing to rely on my own navigational abilities, which it's very obvious, I think, from this podcast, do not exist. My ability to piece together travel plans and map things out in my brain is terrible. It's just terrible. But it worked in this case. And I was so proud. Man, the washroom in that park didn't have any toilet paper. Talk about the Japan equivalent of being on Skid Row.
Do you know where you are? You're in the jungle, baby. You're gonna die.
Luckily, I had tucked away, stashed away in my day bag, a little package from 7-Eleven of toiletry stuff. It's only enough for one situation. I'll have to restock it, but perfect for situations like that. And now my leg is feeling better, but I suppose I should just stop. Just one of those things. There's no point in constantly updating. Who cares? If something goes wrong, something goes wrong. Generally, I think my exploration for this trip is basically over. I think I did it, and I think it has been a great success. Because when I visited Japan in 2019, despite the fact that my bank card expired and that I lost my passport and that it was actually quite stressful, overall, it was still just like such a wonderful trip. I was like, man, what a magical little adventure. So much so that that's why I wanted to do this podcast. It's like, I wish I had done a podcast last time just to chronicle this little stuff of just wandering around Japan and the stuff that you see and the things that happen. And I feel like this trip has gone, you know, if I had to plan it out, if I had to chart out what I would hope to happen on my second trip to Japan, and after being delayed because of the pandemic and all this stuff, I mean, I feel like this basically went perfect. Because this time, I did not lose my passport, my bank card did not expire, nothing too seriously wrong happened. The weather is just insane. The weather gods had my back for sure. This is just like, it's like I'm cheating with how good the weather has been. And I've gone so many places and seen so much stuff and just filled out so much of the map and just added so much to my knowledge of so many different parts of Tokyo and West Tokyo and Fukuoka. And even though wandering around by myself is really all I'm here to do, I even squeezed in meeting some people in Chiba, you know? Again, not what the plan was. Not something that I was like, oh, I should really start seeking this experience out. Just walking around by myself is still very much what I like to do. But it sure didn't hurt. It added some texture to the trip. I mean, everything went so well that, like, all right, we can just wrap it up now. Put a bow on it. I consider this, I mean, you know, on a pass-fail fucking system, it's pretty fucking perfect. I mean, what else could I have asked for? So, if I do end up with a gamey leg right now, it's not like it happened 2 months ago. It's not like it happened when I was right in the thick of things. If it happens right now, that's fine, dude. Right now, we're just kind of tidying up. We're just preparing to exit. But yeah, that's another thing I certainly could not complain about. With the amount that I pushed myself on this trip, it's like, it's ludicrous. I took things so much slower in 2019, and a lot of that was just because of the weather. Because it was so hot, I had lots of days where I just was like, I'm just going to stay in today. Or I'm just going to go to the mall in Akigawa. Fuck all this. The amount that I've been pushing it on this trip is a bit silly, and I basically got away with it. You know, this does not feel even a little like it did walking down these streets in the middle of the night, in the middle of summer. I would never guess that this is the same place, you know, if someone just dropped me here and was like, hey, recognize this? Remember this? And that's a journey I thought back to many, many times, because it was one of my go-to things if I was having a hard time falling asleep, that I would count down from 100, basically like reverse counting sheep, and just to keep me focused on the task, I would pick like a route somewhere I'd been in my life and just walk through the beats of it. So in this case, it would be like start at the Sky Tree, go into the station, get onto the train, ride the train to Tachikawa, head out the south exit, go to the 7-Eleven, go to that park, etc., etc., etc. Each one counting down, like take a deep breath, countdown. And the starting at 100 thing, the idea is if you ever get to zero, just get up and go do something else because you're not going to fall asleep. But you'd never get to zero, you know? It's like you start losing track of numbers and you have to start repeating stuff and it gets fuzzy and you fall asleep. It's actually a pretty good technique. But I used this walk in that capacity dozens of times. So I really tried to forge it into my brain. But yeah, if someone just dropped me here right now and said, like, you recognize this? I would not. It doesn't even seem a little bit the same. Which I guess would be another reason to potentially bail out of this particular walk, because what am I doing? If this is a nostalgia run, this one ain't working. This is too different. The whole context is completely changed from the dark midnight adventure. But man, speaking of my leg falling apart, my clothes are falling apart too on this journey, because I have so few things, you know, so few clothes. One of my pairs of jeans has a hole in the pocket, which is just slightly annoying, because I would keep my phone, my good phone with the GPS, in my pocket. But now that there's a big hole in the pocket, I don't want to ditch the whole pair of pants just because of that. But I got to figure out what to do with this phone, so I guess I just squeeze it in my day bag. I just got to pick a location to make sure I always put it there, or I will lose it. But the main thing are my jackets, my various layers that I have not really needed. But I got this one hoodie that's like my crappiest thing, because it's just an old hoodie I had that doesn't even have a hood on the hoodie. And the zipper's broken on it. So that one, I don't quite know how to get rid of clothing around here, but I'll figure something out. Because that one was my worst thing anyway, just not worth holding on to. But then my for real winter coat that I only used once or twice, it has like a tear in it where every time I put it through the wash, it gets, the stuffing starts to come out of it and gets on my clothes. But again, I didn't need it at all here, and it was in fact just a hand-me-down coat that I got from somewhere. There's no need to hang on to it. But I keep hearing about how cold South Korea is. So if I can just hold on to it long enough to take it to South Korea and use it there if need be, and then when spring comes, then I can abandon that one. You know, no matter what, once the weather gets warm, I'm going to be abandoning these things anyway. But the choice is turning out to be very easy. It's very easy to determine what stays and what goes, because some of my stuff is just falling apart. And I just walked by a vending machine that had a couple of unusual items in it. But yeah, star vending, man. Star vending with the brown sugar latte. I have never seen one of those outside of that one neighborhood south of the Skytree. Although I guess it's similar with Hachioji, is the machines that have root beer in them. I only found two of those, both in Hachioji. But, I mean, I've bought like three or four root beers at this point. It's just like, cool. It's just such a weird thing in Japan. Turns out it's kind of nice to have a little root beer once in a while. But anyway, there's the leg update, there's the my various layers of winter clothing update, there's the this feels like a completely new adventure and is not at all reminiscent of the last time I did this walk update. As it always is with this podcast, just random shit that nobody asked for. That's what I do here. That's the plan. You know what I should maybe do? Because this is just, this is the definition of just a walk through a very generic neighborhood. It's not really doing much for me. It's not spurring my fucking ethers. I'm coming up to Nishi Tachikawa, one whole station away from Tachikawa. Maybe I should hop up there, get on that train, because this, again, is just going to be a walk for another four stations, but then I'll kind of skirt around Haijuma. But that part skirting around Haijuma to cross the Tama is especially unpleasant because that's where all the heavy truck traffic is. So basically, I've got like 2 hours of relatively unpleasant walking ahead of me before I get to Akigawa, where it's nice. So why don't I just go jump on the train, hop over to Higashi Akiru, which is the first station in Akiruno, and then I can walk that part of it, which is way, way nicer. Yeah, so it's basically the same loop, but let's just skip all this Tachikawa stuff because no offense, Tachikawa, but what I was just saying about how I felt about the station, that it's a bit just generically a station. It's like, all right, it does have stuff that one might need. It's certainly not a bad station. That's kind of how I'm feeling about this entire surrounding area. In the middle of the night, just because things tend to be cooler looking and prettier in the middle of the night, it felt cool and pretty. In the daytime, who can say? Or like, I'm coming up to a Lawson's here. This looks a lot like I definitely stopped at a Lawson's. Yeah, I'm quite sure this is the one where I stopped in and I bought a coffee, because even though it was the middle of the night, I was pretty exhausted and I knew I had a long walk ahead of me. So I bought a coffee, and I did definitely get the vibe that the guy working there found it a little strange that I was showing up there. Guy who can't speak Japanese in the middle of the night. Probably a little bit unusual. Or maybe it's just my imagination. Maybe he wasn't thinking shit. I don't know. But again, like, yeah, I'm quite sure that's the place. But even walking right by it, the two experiences just are not connecting in my brain. They do not feel related. They just feel like two independent things that happened to me. So hey, some adventures you can't go back to. Wow, this park, by the way, the one that I did not pay to go into, it looks pretty fucking big. Maybe it is good. Showa Kinnan Park. And the Polar Science Museum is here. Although part of the bigness is one of these defense force camps. I don't know, what a weird neighborhood, whatever. The other nice thing with all these trains and just hopping on them, hopping off them, this whole ride was like $2.50. So hey, whatever. Go hop back on the train, take another little ride that'll cost like $1.50. Cut out this part of the journey. So I'm gonna do that. Alright, took the train to Haijima, and I think this was a good idea because the sun's heading down anyway. Not a ton of time in the day, so to chop out that little bit of the journey seemed like a good plan, and I got some ice cream at the station. Because I guess the three, you can get ice cream from those little pouches, which is pretty cool, and there's just ice cream cones. But there's also these ice cream that are, it's so cool, but I've only ever seen them in Japan, where it's basically like an ice cream sandwich, but the sandwich part is like an ice cream cone that fully encases the ice cream. So you can just hold this thing in your hands, and this time of year it's not a big worry that it's gonna melt. But in general, it's an enclosed ice cream sandwich. Which is just convenient as hell, man. You just hold it and you just eat it, and it's fucking great. It's delicious. And then as I left Haijima, I left the other side from where I went the other day. This time it was toward the Tama, toward Akiruno, and I saw freaking Fuji again. I had no idea you could see Fuji from there. But again, I guess because dusk is setting in, I mean, there's a couple hours to go. The sun is still way high in the sky, very bright, exactly in the same direction as Fuji. But despite that, if you peer through the blinding glare, I was like, man, there's Fuji just poking out above everything. That's fucking cool. But I thought I would get out here instead of on the other side of the Tama, because this was one part of the journey that I thought might be actually kind of fun to have it dissolve in the daytime. Because by the time I got here, I sort of skirted around Haijima. I didn't go straight there. And I crossed this big, awful highway, which I just crossed. And yeah, in the daytime, it's not that bad. I mean, it is giant and awful, but in the daytime, there's other people crossing. You just wait for the lights. It's like, whatever, it's not that big a deal. But in the middle of the night, man, it felt oppressive. After walking through these quiet, empty neighborhoods, then getting to this big, rumbling, awful street, it was like, whoa. But yeah, it certainly doesn't feel the same in the day. And this bridge I'm coming up to was also weirdly scary because it was so fucking dark. And I'm not sure if there's actually any lights on that bridge, but if there are, there's not many. And I just remember walking out into the gaping void, the giant black maw of walking onto the bridge. And it's not that high up of a bridge, and it's not that large of a river, but underneath me was just darkness, and it just felt like floating in space. And then across the whole horizon, I could see, even though it was the middle of the night, I could still see the big scary mountains on the horizon, because they were even more dark than the seemingly perfectly dark sky. But yeah, just the darkness of everything, the dark beneath me, beneath the bridge, the darkness on the bridge, the darkness in the distance, the darkness of the mountain silhouettes, everything was just like freaking me out. So I'm coming up to that bridge. I think I got one more street here to cross. And yeah, let's just cross it in the daytime. Let's just cross it when it's no big deal at all. Let's just wipe away all of those memories and replace them with gentle daytime ones. Or it'll develop into some kind of weird amalgam in my mind where the two memories mix together. Or maybe this memory won't stick at all and I'll only remember the dark. But yeah, this little stretch, I was saying in Tachikawa how I was having a hard time connecting the two memories. It seemed too different. But this one is just, it's very distinct. I remember this road. I remember heading down this way. I remember that feeling of like I'm getting quite close to home. I'm getting closer and closer to the neighborhood that I'm familiar with, but not quite. You know, I passed the death highway. I still got to cross this fucking scary bridge. I was not quite there yet. It's kind of neat too, where back then I didn't even know this river was called the Tama. I have upgraded because of Google Maps my fucking knowledge of what things are called a millionfold. I didn't know what anything was called in 2019. I had no idea what this river was called. And the way I learned is I was doing this thing during COVID times where there was this one channel in particular that would post walking around Japan videos. And there's a bunch of channels that do that, but this was one of the more obscure ones. And I think partially it's because they posted all their information in Japanese rather than in English. And the people during COVID times who were searching YouTube for walking videos of Japan were probably not Japanese, you know, if I had to hazard a guess. But I stumbled upon that channel because I was looking for some obscure outskirts area, and they posted like all over Tokyo. And it was an extra bonus that their video titles were not in English, so I could click on this thing and not know exactly where it was. So what I started doing, because they posted every day, is I just copy and pasted the name of the location in Japanese, and I would put that into Google Maps, and then I would play a little game with myself to see how long it took me to figure out where the place was. From the initial area that came up, you know, and it would just be a small area around wherever the starting station usually was. So then I would click zoom out and see if I recognized anything. And then click zoom out and see if I recognized anything. And if I was lucky, I would recognize something I distinctly knew the name of. But sometimes I would just try to piece it together based on the fabric of what I was seeing. Like if there was a super density of convenience stores, it's probably central Tokyo. If there's hardly any, maybe it's like Saitama or something. And just a fun little game to play. I certainly wasn't great at it, but it was just to see how many zoom outs it would take. And inadvertently, I would start learning the names of stuff. So one of the first things was was this Tama River, where I realized, oh, that's that river, which I'm looking at right now. I've just gotten to the river. Man, yeah, I remember this for sure. There's a little lodge-looking place here that's probably a washroom. There's a little park down there, which, yeah, today there's people on their bicycles, just people chilling, hanging out, where, yeah, when I was here before, it was so dark and so frightening and no one was around. Because it's not that big of a river, but it's quite a large river bed. So it felt a lot bigger at night. Certainly a lot more traffic. And walking directly into the sun is unfortunate. But yeah, I saw this river and I'm like, oh, that's the river. That's the river I crossed that night. That's the river which splits Haijima from Akiruno. And it really is like you're walking into a different world. The Haijima area is the Air Force base and the trucks, and it's all kind of industrial and not great. And then you cross the Tama, and all of a sudden it's people leaving their vegetables out with the lock boxes so you can just pay on the honor system. It's like you're in the countryside, even though you've only gone a little bit farther away. Like, crossing this river is the magical land, as when everything gets good. And man, now that I'm crossing, man, the mountains are so mysterious around here. Like, I guess I must have been elevated more when I was up at Haijima Station enough to see over these mountains. Because I see all the mountains everywhere, the big mountain range that covers the whole horizon. But no Fuji. Fuji's gone. What an elusive mountain. And yes, this is actually quite a long bridge. I can see why this was scary at night and that there are streetlights. But as I've learned on this trip, the streetlights in Japan are really shitty. They're essentially almost not there. So I can see why in my memory this was just pitch black. And yeah, this riverbed, it's mostly fairly dry. The river itself's not that big. But at night, this was all just darkness. I couldn't tell what was marshland or what was ground or what was water. But yeah, once I realized that this was called the Tama River, it became one of my principal landmarks. I just sort of learned how it snaked its way down through Tokyo, and I would keep seeing it over and over. Like, it here it's more or less north-south, but then it switches east-west and it goes down past Tachikawa, and it eventually empties into Tokyo Bay. And yeah, I'd say this was like kind of that little game. The Tama was the first thing I committed to memory. The rivers were really handy in general, the Arakawa and the Sumida. You know, they weren't perfect because they cover so much space and they do twist around. Not twist, but you know. But yeah, once I saw a river, I started committing river names to memory, and it really helped me figure out what I was looking at on the map. Yeah, this is cool, because this memory, man, this one, just looking at these mountains, like, I very clearly remember what this looked like in the dark, because, I mean, mountain ranges don't change unless Fuji pops up out of nowhere, apparently. But yeah, I definitely remember looking at all this stuff. And yeah, like, now I can look down over the side of the bridge and realize I'm not that high up, and there's just someone's car parked down there. And it's no biggie. Where before, that was just darkness. Who knows what could have been down there? That could have been like falling into the Maw of Cthulhu or something. So yeah, this walk, this is actually kind of a neat one to do in the daytime. This connection I feel extremely clearly. Just a little bit up here is like an outlet store where I bought a bag of socks once. And then further on is a Family Mart, which there's nothing special about a Family Mart being open all night, but I just remember at the time, where by that point it was like 2 in the morning, it was mighty comforting. And if you just keep going along this way, eventually you get to the road that leads up to the Legal Mind taxi building, and that's where my Airbnb was, and then I went the heck to bed. Today though, I think I am just gonna keep going toward the general vicinity of Tokyo Summerland. And yeah, if I cross that bridge, what am I looking at here? Yeah, I guess I have crossed I've crossed this bridge before, the one I'm heading to. Way back earlier in this podcast where I crossed a bridge and did a impromptu walk up into the mountains. Actually, wait a second. That's a good point, because I'm remembering now when I did that before, there was the road up into the mountains, which was not exactly recommended. You know, it was a very narrow side of the road. And everything else was a tunnel. And now that I've learned about tunnels, that they're the brown parts on Google Maps, I can see how long these tunnels are, and they're very fucking long. There's two of these tunnels that, again, there's fucking no possible chance a person is supposed to walk through those. They're way too long. I'm certainly not doing that. But that river I was trying to get to, so there's the Kawaguchi. This Kawaguchi River, I would need to go through a horrible tunnel. So we're definitely not doing that. Where's the other river? Because there's a river that goes right by my Airbnb. But again, because I just came upon this plan earlier today, this may not work at all. I may have not accounted for an enormous mountain in my way. Man, having a map, how crazy. What a world. There's the Takayama Castle ruins, which I also went to earlier in this podcast. As with all castle ruins, there was nothing there, but that one was actually pretty nice. It was a nice park. Okay, Yaji River. Where do you go, Yaji? Can I connect to you? It gets narrower and narrower and narrower, but it's still going. Okay, and here's where it loops down around the wrong way. Oh, damn, it's so close. But it's right on the other side. Yeah, I can't do this. Not even on the other side. It's actually in the middle of that mountain. Oh, I see. Look at that. Yeah, it's extremely similar to the route I took to get to the Takayama Castle ruins. Oh, I see. Okay. So the Yaji River actually runs along that same route. If I'd known about it on that day, it probably was a nicer walk than walking down the highway I walked down, but they both go parallel. Okay, never mind that plan. That ain't happening. That's, that was a pretty vague plan to begin with, but that ain't gonna work. That don't work for me, brother. When the sun's on its way down, that's not the time to try to force your way over a mountain. Probably there's no good time to force your way over a mountain. So, whatever, fuck it. I'm in Akiruno. This is my impromptu, probably my last time in this neighborhood. So maybe I'll just go to the mall instead. The good old Aeon Mall. Why not? Why not go say my goodbyes to the mall? Definitely something, though, I've certainly learned on this podcast lately. Nothing like a backup plan. Because my original plan of start at Tachikawa, painstakingly walk all the way to Akigawa Station. And why? Just because I did it before. Just because I did it once at night. Then the other plan of like, what's this river? This river that sort of seemingly connects to my Airbnb. Should you not take into account any enormous mountains that might be in the way, I could do the whole loop. Instead, the backup plan of like, nah. Let's go soak in a little Tachikawa. Then let's skip ahead to Hijima. Then let's go across the bridge. I'm especially glad I did that part. That part was cool. It's cool to see it in the daytime. And then just do nothing. Then fucking stop. Just go to the mall, fuck around for a bit, take the train home, call it a day. There's the Family Mart. In fact, I might go in that Family Mart, buy a little snack or something. Where's the outlet store? Oh, there it is. I walked right by. Just behind me. That'd be a weird thing. I mean, I just don't need socks right now. That would hit a weird level of nostalgia. Every day, same low price. Fashion Plaza. Like, hey, if you say so. I mean, to be fair, I didn't look around that much. Maybe it was super fashionable. I just went in there to buy socks. But to buy socks purely because that's a place where I bought socks before, I think at that point, the kind of fun little nostalgic rerunning of old things that I did, that's where it would just become weird. Like, like I'm trapped in some kind of horrible Groundhog Day movie where I can only ever do what I've done before. But anyway, that was a bit of a weird little day. That was kind of fun in a stupid way. I kind of liked it. I think tomorrow, for my last day out here, gonna go give Ome another shot. Jeez, there's actually a McDonald's out here. I wonder if that's new. Because I don't remember that at all. And I feel like that's one of those things, even though I don't go to McDonald's a ton, I remember thinking that like when I first moved to Vancouver and I didn't know anybody and my first big move away from my hometown. There is something very comforting about even just places like McDonald's, Starbucks, whatever. Just seeing the logos, or Tim Hortons in Canada, seeing these familiar logos in different places, it does have a certain, you know, comfort to it. And McDonald's is the bigwig of these. New York, Amsterdam, doesn't matter. You go anywhere, there's a freaking McDonald's. So I feel like walking down here in the middle of the night and feeling that nice comfort of like, I'm back in Akigawa, I'm back in Akiruno. I'm in my hood, I'm in my neighborhood that I know. I remember distinctly feeling like very much calmer once I got here. And I think maybe a McDonald's logo even would have added to that, of just like, and there's even McDonald's. how cozy. But I really don't remember that, so maybe it was just closed down and I just walked by, or maybe it's new. Anyway, I keep saying I'm going to go to the mall. The mall's actually not that close. It's kind of a walk to the mall. It's like, fuck the mall. I'll just go to Akigawa Station and can just head home. That's fine. Why do I keep thinking I like the mall? I don't give a sweet fuck about the mall. If I had my laptop, it's my favorite place to go sit with a laptop at a Starbucks, for sure. But without that, there's no need to go to the mall. But one thing that's kind of cool is, I was looking at one of these traffic signs, and I've just added so much to knowing what's going on around here, where it says ahead is Itsukaishi, which is like, I know about that now, Kamine Park and all that stuff. To the left, Hachioji, that's the new one, you know? I didn't know shit about that. Now I'm pretty familiar with it. It's where I'm staying right now. To the right, Fusa. Fusa's just past Spider Island, you know? Hop across the Tama, get over to the, again, the less pretty side, but there's Fusa. And then, also ahead, the Ken-O Expressway, which I don't know anything about that because I don't drive. I just know that the first boss in the video game Shinobi, his name is Ken-O. Are any of these Ken-O's the same? Do they relate in any way? I don't know. but it's just kind of cool to see all the street signs and just be like, I know all of those neighborhoods. Sweet. You know, when I was here in 2019, I knew none of them. My mental image of what those places are, or if someone had asked me to name them, I would have nothing. I would draw a blank. And now I know them all. Fucking cool, man. Fucking cool. All right, so I'm going to walk to Akigawa Station, and I'm just going to go the heck home. What a nice little trip. It's so nice to be in West Tokyo, because this would be one of those things, like, if I decided to make... I still can't believe I did that one day where I went to Ome from the Sky Tree. What the heck was that? That was absurd. But when you're out here, it's all so easy. Quick little tiny journeys. They cost a couple dollars. It's nice and fun. Hey, did I call it Spider Island? Obviously it's Spider Mountain, not Spider Island. Not yet, anyway. I suppose once the world floods, then someday it will be Spider Island. Man, this is fucking wild. I definitely do not understand how distances and elevations and stuff work. I mean, I guess it's just because Fuji is so huge that it's 3,000 meters or whatever. Because as the sun was going down, and it's that nice band of orange across the mountains and the horizon, which is always what helps me see Fuji. Most of my Fuji views are because of that, or certainly my best ones are. And I was looking around like, nope, I definitely do not see Fuji from this neighborhood. But then I took a little turn right by the old Legal Mind building, where my old Airbnb was, Because there's this loop around that Airbnb that I used to do where there's a 7-Eleven that I'm coming up to soon. And around the corner is an underpass that goes down to a Family Mart. And then around the corner from that is a Lawson's. So back in 2019, when all these places had Wi-Fi, you get 20 minutes at each one. So I'd go to the 7-Eleven and just download, you know, the day's wrestling news or whatever stupid crap. And that was usually fine, but if I ever needed more internet, I'd do the loop. So I just thought I'd do the loop in reverse today, just for the heck of it, just for, you know, I haven't done it this trip. So I go under the overpass and up a hill, and it's not a big hill, but I am a little higher up now. And then I look over and biggity bam, big as life, there's Fuji, so super clear. And I mean, my Airbnb, because I stayed here this time as well, the place with the trains going by, it's like right over there. I'm 5 minutes away. So I've walked this stretch many, many times. I was even here the other day when I was talking about how glad I was that I came back here for one last time and I went to the cemetery. That's right across the street from here, the farmland I was walking through with all the crops and stuff. Fuji's right there. It is right there. That is fucking so crazy to me. How did I never see that before? That's so fucked up. Like, maybe it does just need to be just the right conditions. Maybe it's because I was here in the summertime. Maybe in the summer, it's not as visible. I just don't know. I just have no idea what makes that fucking mountain just appear and disappear. It is like magic. It is so weird. But yeah, there it is, man. Undeniably, there it is. Oh, I thought I'd mention too, actually, I'm glad that old Mount Fuji got me to pull out the recorder one last time for this episode. Because there's something I meant to mention that I forgot to bring up that was kind of a cool little experience. Where one of the things I liked so much about staying at Naka Itabashi in 2019 was the Airbnb I stayed at that time is no longer an Airbnb because COVID took it out, but even before COVID, it was clearly not doing great. It was a great place. I loved it, but it wasn't successful, as evidenced by the fact that, I mean, I stayed there for a long time. I was there for 40 days, and at least 20 of those days, I was there all by myself. And then several other of those days, it was just me and one or two other people. It was only busy during Golden Week. But I loved that feeling so much, you know? It was just a random occurrence of, geez, yeah, geez. I'm just walking I'm half a block. I'm walking away from the major road, so it'll be quieter. There goes Fuji. See you later, Fuji. It already has disappeared behind some houses. So maybe that explains why I never saw it. I mean, maybe you do just need to be in just the right spot. Crazy. Anyway, it's a... Fuji hunting is very fun. Totally unpredictable. I have no idea how to know where you're going to see it, but it's cool when you do. Anyway, I loved that feeling of having a two-story building all to myself. It was such a cool, just go home at night and there was no permanent staff there. The staff only came in when there was new people to check in. So I just put in my little door code, beep, boop, boop, and go in. And walk up to the big, there's the room downstairs with a shower and some washrooms, and then go upstairs with another shower and more washrooms and a big room full of bunks, but I was the only one in there. And it was such a cool feeling that for 20-some dollars a day, I somehow managed to wrangle this situation where I had an entire building to myself, like I'm some kind of mogul. Like, I just have a house that I own in Japan somehow. Fucking cool. Extremely difficult situation to replicate without being rich. I just got lucky. And obviously not lucky for the people running that property. So they were like, that's enough of this. Fuck this bullshit. We can't keep this place running just so some random Canadian can have his own building. But I got a little taste of it last night. Much smaller degree, but the Airbnb I'm staying at, where it's just a guy's house in Hachioji, and he just rents out the three rooms upstairs. And as I mentioned last episode, he was heading out to do mountain hiking and to sleep overnight. despite the cold that's settling in at night. He had his winter-graded sleeping bag, and he was heading up there. So yesterday, I got in, and there was no one else in the other two Airbnb rooms. And my kind host was out sleeping on a mountain somewhere, the crazy bastard. And it was such a cool feeling, because it was that same feeling. I only got it for one night, and it was, well, I guess it was a similar size building, you know? It's a two-story house, and I mean, it's not like I really had reign of the house. I didn't have the keys to the other rooms. I've never been to the downstairs part of the house. That's his part. I don't know how that works. I only just go down there to take a shower and to leave. But just that feeling of no one else is in the house. And part of that feeling is that none of the heat was on in the house. It was cold as shit in there. So I didn't go anywhere or use the house at all. I was just in my room, which is kind of traditional Japanese style anyway, right? Like, you just heat the one room that everyone's in and you let the rest of the house be cold. So even if I did own the whole house, I would only have been in that one room anyway. So it just completely felt like I was in a house that I owned somehow in Japan again. It's like, whoa, I'm just in my house. It's just a cool feeling, you know? It just felt neat. And that's a weird thing about Airbnb, you know? You just leave somebody in your house, you know? I mean, me and Mr. Airbnb guy, I'd say we get along pretty well. But, I mean, he still doesn't really know me from Adam. I'm still just some guy, and I could have been anybody. What if I was a less reputable? What if I was a less... Oh, there's my, there's the building. There is the old Airbnb building. And now I'm looking up at the balcony on the second floor, or the third floor. That's where my eyes went immediately, is that was, oh, that was the fun Airbnb room. But nope, put your gaze down, move to the left a little. That weird little building, that's where you stayed this time. Train adjacent, zero soundproofing. Nope, 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 put my eyes back up, up to the third floor. Ah, there's the door that I wish I could stay in. Anyway, yeah, it certainly must be a slightly weird thing to just leave somebody in your house all alone. But I guess that's the thing with Airbnb, is especially because it's all review-based and stuff, you can't really afford to be a dick, because a bad review or two is extremely damning. So I got a bunch of good reviews, he's got a bunch of good reviews, everyone's happy, I just get to live in his house while he's gone. But yeah, it was a similar thing. This one is a little more expensive, it was $30-some, but I get to have a whole house in Tokyo. Which, yeah, again, functionally, nothing was different about that day. But you can just feel it. You just feel that sense of nobody being in the house. And I mean, I guess that says something about me. That really does key into this solo traveling I always do, is I don't want the feeling of someone in the house. I like the feeling that no one's in the house. That was nice. All right, there's the little shrine up on the mountain, but I'm not gonna go say my final goodbyes to that shrine because I don't really give a shit. It's getting dark, it's getting cold. What I give a shit about is this 7-Eleven on the corner. I'm gonna go in there, get me some fucking onigiri or something. All right, well, thank you for listening. One more day in West Tokyo, so all signs are pointing to Ome. I'll probably go try to do the southern version of the Ome hiking course again. And again, the beauty of backup plans, if I just end up on the North Trail again, I can think of worse things to do because it's fucking awesome. So, pretty good backup plan. Hopefully, I will see you there. Thanks again, and adios.